Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and beginning our reading at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1, where the Bible tells us, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The Great Commission, as it's given in Mark 16, 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So we have a mandate to get the gospel out, to preach the gospel to every creature. But what is the gospel? What is the gospel? I asked a man one time, I said, "What's the gospel?" He said, "Well, that's the whole Bible. The Bible is the gospel." I said, "No, the Bible is good news." And I said, "The rich man in hell lifted up his eyes being in torments. He saw Abraham afar off and asked for just a drop of water. He saw Lazarus afar off, asked for a drop of water, that he could come and put a drop of water on his stone. That's not good news. In hell, he lift up his eyes being in torments. That's not good news. The good news is how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and how that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. I have seen the need of that simplicity more in the last 3.5 years than ever before. Because there are folks who know nothing about the Bible. They know nothing about the Scriptures. They know nothing about the truth of the Word of God. And we must take them to the very rudiments of it all. Those things that are basic. When I was in the band, I was a percussionist. Played the drums, played the cymbals, I got to play 1 year in the Gulf Coast Symphony Orchestra and enjoyed that. But when I first started out, I got a book that said the rudiments of drumming, how to learn the snare, the rudiments, a 3-point roll, a 5-point roll, learning those rudiments. And then you build upon that. What's the very first thing that people need to hear? They need to hear that Christ died for sinners. And that he was buried. And how that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And so we find the gospel contained there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the gospel needs to be preached. And in Galatians, Paul said, "If any man come and preach another gospel, let him be accursed." And friends, there are a lot of things being taught today. There's a lot of junk out there. On the radio, you hear it. From the pulpit, you hear it. There is this new thing, and be careful and watch out for it, called hyperdispensationalism, where they believe that nobody really preached the gospel and it wasn't revealed until the ministry of Paul. And they said, discount what Jesus said, discount what Moses says, discount all that, and just start off where Paul started out. Well, that's another gospel. Listen, we need to stay away from that. I believe the gospel was seen in Abraham as he went up on Mount Moriah and would have slain his own son, believing that God would raise him up. And they say, no, that's not the gospel. It is. It's pictured. It is pictured there. the very word gospel, evangelion, means good news, glad tidings. And we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where we see the first mention where the Bible says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between the devil, between Satan and Eve, and between thy seed and her seed." Her seed is the Lord Jesus. "And it shall bruise thy head," the seed of the woman, "and thou shalt bruise his heel." The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Yes, Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. He took our place. He was wounded for us. But he lives. He's alive today, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Some years ago when I was pastoring in Arkansas, one of the ladies of the church, her husband had gone to work, she was at home, she said, "Preacher, you got to come over real quick. You got to come over. A snake's climb up in the tree and it's going in my birdhouse and the little bird eggs are in there." And the mama said, "You got to come." So I took off, ran over there and got the shotgun. And man, it's a big old snake. And man, boom! I mean, cut its tail off about halfway down. And you know what that snake did? Just kept on going. And it had its head in there. She said, "Get him out. I don't want to get him out." So I had to reach up and grab it down. And I don't like snakes. I don't. And that thing started to wiggle off. And I took that shotgun and whoa! Blew its head off. Do you know what happened? It stopped. The Lord Jesus has defeated Satan. Oh, I love to get glad tidings, don't you? I love good news. I do. I like good news. Good news from a far country. Good news from a near country. The good news how that God sent his son to take my place. I'm still amazed at that. When I sing that song, Stephen, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene," Bobby, I can't help but think, why would he do that for me? Why would he die for me? Alfred, Lord Tennyson, asked an elderly woman one day, "What is the news today?" And the woman replied, "Why, Mr. Tennyson, there is only one piece of news I know. That is, Christ died for sinners." And Tennyson replied, "That is old news. That is good news. That is new news." And it is. That's the news. Christ died for sinners. The old woman was right, amen? She was right. It's good news. Good news to whom? It's good news to sinners. I like to hear the children sing. And I like that song, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight." People from all over. People from every kindred and tongue. He wants them to hear the gospel. He does. He wants them to hear the gospel. And the gospel is good news to sinners. Oh, how dark was our sin. And yet he bore that sin in his body on the tree. Not long ago, I was in Starkville, Bethany and Jerry and little Sadie live over near Starkville at Mabin. And she said, "Daddy, I've got to go by the jewelers. Those are friends of mine, and something about her wedding ring or something. They were just, you know, got to make it fit better or whatever." And so we went over there. And when I went in, I saw the beautiful diamonds and saw the glimmer. They had the light on them just right. You know how it is. And I mean, they were just sparkling. But I noticed that the backdrop of the diamond rings and necklaces was black. It was black. But the diamonds looked beautiful. They were on a black velvet backdrop. Oh, dear friend, my heart was black with sin. Then Jesus came. Then Jesus came and took my sin away. And now I'm one of His jewels. One of His jewels. And the blackness to me accentuates what He has done. Took us from sin and brought us into the family. What a blessing that is. God tells us the good news so that we can see just how beautiful the gospel is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the what? Ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for our sinners. Gospel is good news. It was good news that night at the East Howard Baptist Church when I heard the gospel. Now, I had heard it with the physical ear. But then that night, I heard it with a spiritual ear and with a heart opened by the Spirit of God. And oh, I love the gospel, the good news. What is the gospel? Well, we've seen what it is by definition. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, Brother Jim. It's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. I was on a ship not long ago, and the officers were Greek, and the cook was Greek, and I ate good. Got to go eat at the captain's table, and man, they brought out some Greek dessert. I love Greek dessert. I like dessert, period, but it doesn't matter what country. But got the opportunity to give the gospel to the Greek and leave the Greek scripture with them. What a blessing. But of course, we know the Greek is speaking about the heathen, talking about the non-Jew. That means you. That means me. So the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now listen, the gospel is not salvation. It is not. It's the power of God unto salvation. You can believe that Christ died for sinners, was buried, and rose again, and still not be saved. It must be personal. You must see that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and trust in Christ who died for sinners and look to Him. It is a powerful message, but the gospel itself is not enough. It must be believed. Must be believed by sinners. You must look to the Savior as a sinful man and trust in Him alone for salvation. Let me tell you this morning, Jesus saved me. Not the gospel. Jesus saved me. The message is so wonderful, but Jesus is the one who has to do the saving. And then what is the gospel? The preaching of the gospel is sweetness in the nostrils of God. It is 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 and then in verses 14 through 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14, verse number 12 says this, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel." Now, this is his third missionary journey, and he went to Troas by land, and then he went on up, and when he came back by sea. I like that part best. He came by sea. And he told them that when he came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. A door of opportunity, a door to get the gospel out, an entrance, a way of passage. That's the way I feel about the door that God has opened on the ships. It's a door of passage. It's a door that's been opened to go on board and get the gospel out. I went to get my sticker for the van. You have to have it to get on the port, get on your windshield. And I asked the lady, I said, "How much?" She said, "We're not charging you for that." I said, "Well, appreciate that." My transportation, my little TE badge that I have to have to take them off, I had to get it renewed, and I said, "How much?" She said, "Nothing." She said, "Y'all do a service. You help people. We're not charging you." Well, what a blessing. That's a door of entrance. When I first went, it was like pulling teeth. And then God has opened a door. Anytime, day or night, they welcome us on board. Welcome us in. What a blessing. But you notice this here, and we go down to verse 15. It says, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish." That means a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of God, a sweet odor in the nostrils of God. Whether they believe it or don't believe it, God says, "You're preaching the gospel. You keep preaching the gospel. You keep getting the gospel out." And he says, "I smell it. It's good. It's good." Verse 16, "To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Boy, I look at that. Who is sufficient for these things? It's beyond me. But it's wonderful. If I may say, it's mighty heavy. I mean, you know, that's heavy. Who is sufficient? That gets into the attributes of God. That gets into understanding that God knows all things. My job is just do what he tells me to do. "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God and in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." It is not our job nor responsibility to save anybody. It's our responsibility to get the gospel out, to preach it. We can fulfill the Great Commission by doing what we are told to do. Now, when I was growing up, my pawpaw, when I worked with him on the boat, he would say, "You do what I tell you to do." He said, number one, because I told you. Number two, because if you don't do it the way I told you to, you're going to get in trouble. He may end up overboard. He did. One time he did put me overboard. We were cleaning up after a big haul of shrimp and had them pretty well cleaned up and put in baskets, put down in the hole on the ice. And he was using the big high-pressure hose. And I didn't weigh as much as I do now. But I'm not, you know, I've lost a little. But anyway, he said something to me, and I said, "Huh?" He whipped that hose around, put it right in the midsection, and blew me off the boat. So I learned that it's safer to do what he tells me to do. And my papa did not like or sassing. Now, you don't hear about sassing anymore. But man, you sass him and you're in trouble. I sassed him one time and he threw one. You remember when you go to the restaurant, they had those big, heavy mugs? I mean, they were heavy, just thick. And he drank out of one of those heavy mugs and I sassed him and it hit me upside the head. And I stumbled and said, "Sir, whatever you say, sir." When I joined the Air Force, I had no problem in saying, "Yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am." It had been, I had been taught to do that. So we are told to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? It's a message for the Jew and for the Greek. Ephesians 3, 6 and 7, that the gospel should be preached to all. Why? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. I'll never forget the night God called me to preach. I was glad to serve the Lord, working with youth groups and doing that. But that night, it was effectual. Wow, what a time. And then I find in the scripture where it says, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." I listened one day on CRN, Christian Radio Network or something, and kept listening for the gospel. And all I heard was how to have a better home and how to have a better meal with your family and how to this and how to that. And I kept thinking, where's the gospel? Where's Christ? Where's the hope? If you want a better home, have Christ in your home. That's what we need. And the Bible says, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Now listen, I don't know what that woe is and I don't want to know. Because I believe that I ought to preach the gospel. Seldom say they believe the gospel, or many say they believe the gospel, but seldom preach it. Seldom preach it. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And then God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that are lost. Now, that's his plan. Talking about God's plan. I may have done it a little differently, Doug. I may have done it a little differently. But God chose the foolishness of preaching. As one fellow said, not foolish preaching. But he chose the foolishness of preaching. We're to preach the word, although the world sees it as foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Now, I never did really understand that much, but I'm understanding it more now because in my ministry and in Paul's ministry, he did establish churches and that, but he set pastors in the place to do that. Amen? So, I'm getting the gospel out. We send them to churches in areas where they live, if we find a good gospel ministry there. And if not, then we want to help them find a missionary in those areas. So Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And then listen to this, not with the wisdom of words. And again, I'm going back that I've had to become very, very simple. Not that I ever was more than that. But I have to, it's like old J. Vernon McGee, and I know you disagree and agree and all that, but he was a great old Bible teacher. And J. Vernon McGee said, keep the cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody can get some. I was taught in Bible college, sib kiss. And I've never forgotten it. Sib kiss. See it big, keep it simple, stupid. And so see it big, see God's mighty work, but keep it simple. Preach the gospel. I know that the simplicity of the truth will reach hearts. That's what we need to do. Not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Man, I know some big words. I can't even remember. I don't even know that one anymore. You know it. Yeah, you know it. Supercalifragilistic. Expialidocious. Supercalifragilistic. Expialidocious. I know a big word. But who cares? I almost didn't know it anymore. But it's not by the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is of them that perish foolishness. Those who don't believe it, those that go on, and it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. Preaching is the method. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. I'm excited about Monday night, and it's not even here. But I'm excited about it. I started in Revelation a message with the fellas out of Revelation chapter 20. And I brought them down to verse number 10, and then we're going to get at verse 11. And they said, be sure to come preach that next part. They want to hear it. We talked about the heads being cut off for the witness of the gospel. And I said, years ago, people, whenever they got guns in there, they said, how's it going to be with a sword when we have guns? And they said, that's symbolic. It's not symbolic anymore. It's the truth. And they understand that. They do. The gospel. Let me ask you this morning, have you received the message of the gospel? Yes, you hear the gospel message. But have you received the Christ of the gospel? Do you believe in the one who died for sinners? Do you believe that he did that for you? Will you trust him and him alone for salvation? Without him, you're damned and doomed. And all you've got is a black background with no jewel on it. Oh, that you would trust him. What is the gospel's good news? Of how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and how that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.